that song that we've been singing a lot, which is called Whom Shall I Fear? The first verse of it starts out, "You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? Though darkness fills the night." Think of blackness. Think of darkness. Think of a time when you were in a really dark place. You know, what was it like? Physically dark. I mean, not even a glimpse of light. Have you ever been in a place like that? Yeah, you probably have. How did it feel? You know, were you, did you have fear? Did you feel lonely? Maybe vulnerable because you couldn't see what was around you? You long for light, don't you? From whatever source. It's like being in a cave. We were in Carlsbad Caverns with our family back in the 80s, and they take you to this big room in the cave, and they turn off the lights for just a moment. I don't know if they can do that nowadays because of safety reasons. They probably can't. But back then they did, and it was pitch black. And you wanted, you hung on to your kids, and you wanted it, the light back on again. When darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Our oldest daughter went to New Zealand several years ago and went to a cave that when they turned the lights off, they saw this. It was on the ceiling.
Oh my.
These are just these little lights right there on the ceiling. And what it is glow worms that kind of look like strings of pearls on the ceiling. Small little light bearers. Yeah, that's one little glow worm, I guess. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I love that. They were small light bearers to the people below. Now, when our house at night, if we, let's say the electricity goes off, Ron has this big flashlight. I mean, it is a big flashlight, and you can see really well with it. He gets that out, and we feel, you know, we can see again. What can happen when you're walking in a dark house at night? You trip. You bump into the walls. I had a friend who actually broke her nose walking into the door frame. So she warned us all, if you're walking at night, make sure you put your hands out in front of you, because that will happen. If you're in the dark, sometimes you might be afraid. Maybe your imaginations go wild. The lights suddenly go off. The electricity goes off. I remember the first time that happened. Ron was traveling. He was doing his business on the road. And our last child had gone off to college. So there was nobody left in the house, and the electricity went off. And so I got up, and I reassured the cat and the rabbit that everything was going to be okay. And then tried to reassure myself that everything was going to be okay and went back to bed. But when I walk in our house at night, as I walk through a dark hallway, there is a little bit of a light coming from a skylight in the living room. So I see that as I walk through the hallway, and it kind of directs me to the door that takes me to the living room, because that skylight brings in a little light. We live near DFW Airport, so there's always, you know, ambient light around there. So I can find the door, and it gives me perspective again. Well, that's what God does for us. He calls people out of darkness into his wonderful light, and he uses us as that skylight, as that big flashlight, or as the glowworms, you know, on the ceiling. Big, little, he uses us as light bearers to lead others to him. So turn to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul reminds us, as believers, that we were once darkness, but we now are light bearers, and we are to live as children of the light. So look at 5 verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Okay, so we are dearly loved children. We are to live a life of love which imitates God. We learned last night the Holy Spirit helps us to be that loving, to imitate God and his love. Look at down at verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. We are light bearers to others who are still living in darkness. I love this word picture that's found in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read this verse together. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That first part, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. That's all those blessings that we have, that treasure we have in Christ. If you read that first section of Ephesians 1, all those blessings, that makes us that people belonging to God, the holy nation, the holy people. That's who we are. But we aren't just to enjoy that ourselves and keep it to ourselves. As much fun as it is to enjoy that and how building up it is to enjoy that. We have some great things to enjoy. We have a purpose, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of his darkness into his wonderful light. So we are called out of darkness. Now, some of you may have become believers while you were teens or as adults, and you remember what life was like before you had Christ. You remember that darkness, don't you? What did God use to draw you to himself? You know what he used to draw you to himself. Paul describes this darkness in another way. He calls it blindness. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So they have blinded minds. They cannot see the light. Do you know someone like that? I bet we all know someone like that. Were you like that at one time, so that you remember what that actually was like? Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's see what Paul describes as being dark and blinded. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." Okay, so Paul says not only are they blind, they're also dead. So you have a bunch of dead, blind people walking around. And notice that the substitute powers there are influencing them. In verse 2, it says, "following the ways of this world." Okay, that's a substitute power for living, isn't it? And notice he uses the plural, ways. I have been reading or studying through 1 Corinthians in my daily quiet time. And when I got to chapter 1, Paul quoted God speaking through Isaiah, saying this, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." And that fascinates me because our oldest daughter went through Baylor getting her PhD, and she'd come back and tell me some of the things the way the other academics thought, which they can be very prideful, academics can be. And so that was an interesting verse to me. It kind of jumped out at me. I went down to see what my Bible had at the notes at the bottom. And the notes said that on every street in Corinth, you could meet a wise man who had his own solutions to the world's problems. Wow. Doesn't that sound like today? Yes. I thought, wow, you can find wise men all over the internet. Oh, yes. And you can follow all kinds of seemingly good advice that sounds good on the surface for living your life. There are a lot of substitute ways for approaching life, but most do not lead to God's way of approaching life. Back to Ephesians 2, if you look at verse 2 again, he says, "The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Okay, that's the devil. That's another substitute power for living. That's opposite of the Spirit who is at work in us. Believers have the Spirit of God at work within them, not the devil. Okay, but unbelievers are influenced by the devil at work. And the dead do not have the Spirit of life in them. So they're dead, they're being influenced by the world, they're being influenced by demonic forces. And in verse 3, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts, okay? The flesh is another substitute power for living. Living by the flesh. So those are the three substitute powers. The world, the devil, and the flesh. Substitute powers are not life-giving. And I think one of the saddest verses in the Bible is Ephesians 2:12. Remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ without hope and without God in the world. Isn't that a sad condition? It really is. And if you were there before you accepted Christ, you know what that was like and how it felt. You know that. And you know people who are like that, don't you? They could be in your family. They could be your co-workers. They could be your neighbors. They could be your children's friends, parents. They could be teachers. You know, they're around you. You know them. There are a lot of blind people walking around who think they are good, who think they're doing just fine. And in their blindness, their darkness, their deadness, they are groping along the walls to find their way to a door that will give them purpose in life. And when we become Christians at a young age, or we've been Christians a good long time and we've been amongst church people for a long time, we can forget what life is really like for the unbeliever. In fact, we just kind of get mad at them. We want to ignore them. We want them to go away. We want them to, you know, stay far us. Yeah, but, you know, just don't bother us. Y'all just go hide. We don't need you. And we can be very harsh on those living without Christ in this world. We expect non-believers to think like we do, to act like we do. We expect them to act like people living in the light, but they're not people living in the light. They're blinded. They're in darkness. And most don't even know that they're blind until they see a light illuminating a way to something more beautiful than that what they've known before. Some of you know that. Some of you in this room had friends or family or somebody lead you to Christ, and the light came on and you saw the light and you came out of darkness. You know what that's like. And looking at how God describes unbelievers in this book, shouldn't their blindness and their lack of understanding generate compassion in us for them? Too often, we want to get away from them. We cling to those who are just like us, who are like-minded, because it's much more comfortable. I'm that way. I'd much rather hang out with Christians who think like me than it is to hang out with non-Christians who don't think like me, who don't act like me, who don't talk like me, because it's uncomfortable. I understand that. But stepping into their lives is a way of showing compassion and love for them. So do you act with compassion to those around you who are still in darkness? Think about it. Do you do things that show them that you are a light bearer, leading them the way to the light? One of my friends named Trish lives in a neighborhood with a whole bunch of women, and there was this one particular woman that was in the neighborhood, an unbeliever, and she was living with her boyfriend, and the other Christians on the block shunned her because she was a little crude. She didn't believe, and plus she was living with her boyfriend, so she shunned her. Well, Trish started praying for her. And then she noticed that this woman went to the high school football game every Friday. So Trish started sitting next to her at the high school football games. She was going to be there already. She sat next to her. And so they began to talk, and she started building a relationship with her. She found out she liked to walk and hike. So they started planning times when they could go walking together. And you know, when you're walking and you're facing forward, a lot of times you share things much more easily than if you're looking at each other. And they started talking about things, and she found out a lot of things about this woman's background. And Trish just started telling her story and just sharing some things about her faith with her. And they invited the neighbor and her boyfriend to Christmas Eve service and then to dinner afterwards, and they both came. And then after that, they said, hey, we'd like you to ask any questions you have about Christianity. And so just come on over and ask us any questions. And so they started doing that. And then over time, both of them became believers, and they just got married this past May. And, you know, but it took some time for that. God used one woman who was willing to be compassionate enough to act on that, to reach out to this woman that nobody else wanted to reach out to because she was different. And I love that story because she gives me encouragement to do the same in that story. We are light bearers, and we communicate to those blinded, enshrouded in darkness around us that God is real and that He is available to anyone who wants Him or who seeks Him. Jesus said He is the light of the world, giving sight to the spiritually blind. But He chooses to use us, frail and faltering and often self-centered and headstrong. He uses us to be His light bearers. I think He could do a whole lot better by just appearing to each one individually. Don't you? You know, the Paul thing? You know, just go ahead, Jesus. Meet her right there. You know, it'd be so much better than me trying to do it. But He chooses to use us. Part of that, I think, is because we learn to be dependent on Him, and we learn to be obedient to Him. And we are His light bearers, His messengers of love to the blind people on this earth. That just amazes me. Going back to our verse, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. It's like, okay, we can say, the light is this way. Let me help you find the light. God is waiting to rescue you from your prison of darkness and bring you into His wonderful light. Not necessarily that we would say those words, but that's what we do. We're the flashlight, leading them to the way that they need to go. So as light bearers to people living in darkness, lead them to seek the treasure in Jesus Christ that is more powerful, valuable, and effective than anything they have been substituting for Him. The treasure we have in Jesus Christ is too valuable, it's too powerful to keep to ourselves. We must share it. We must declare the praises of Him who did this in our lives. In Romans chapter 10, Paul wrote, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? Okay, read the next line with me. And how can they hear without someone preaching, declaring the good news to them? That's what preaching means. It doesn't mean pulpit pounding. It just simply means declaring the good news. We know this is what we're called to do. But, like I said earlier, we can get sidetracked from it. Maybe feelings of inadequacy or fear of rejection. For me, it's a matter of comfort. I just feel more comfortable with people who think just like me. I'm just honest about that. And I enjoy being with other Christians who are growing and enjoying Christ. I enjoy the Christian community. I love that. It's my family. I'd rather spend time with Christians than non-Christians. So I can understand this intentional blindness that we can get to. This is a picture of a kind of an illustration. There are four girls who are talking. Now, they may not even be aware of the other girl who's looking in. I'm not saying they're intentionally ignoring her, but they are so focused on each other that they may not even be seeing her. And if you look at her, she's kind of looking over that way. She wants to be part of the group, but she doesn't know how. And so we can kind of get intentionally blind sometimes. I am the disciple-making pathway trainer. I go to different churches, and I lead trainings in how to engage non-believers and how to establish new believers in the faith. It's called disciple-making pathway. That's what I do, and I teach some of this in that training. Some of you have been through that training. And the story that I tell is I was part of this Bible study at our church for many years. And it was on Thursday mornings. There was probably 100, 150 women from our church that attended. And I knew those women. I knew them by name. I knew them by face. And on Sunday mornings, I saw them. I saw them. I called their name, and I recognized them. Well, I volunteered to be a mentor mom for mothers of preschoolers, which is called MOPS. I walked into the first leaders meeting, and there were 20 young women, moms of little kids that had been in my church for a number of years, who loved Jesus, were passionate about him. I never saw them before. Mm-hmm. The next Sunday, I saw them because they were taking babies to the nursery. They were taking preschoolers to the bathroom first before they took them into class. They were taking their big mugs to the coffee pot to fill them up with caffeine coffee so they could stay awake during the service. But because they weren't part of my circle, I had been intentionally blind to them. And I think that happens to us. People who are not part of our circle, who are not part of our community, our family, we know they're there, but it's like, okay, just stay there. You can't worry about everyone because you're all surrounded by lots of non-believers. But there's got to be one person in your life that you can be a light bearer to her in her life. Moving on, John wrote this in Revelation. They, believers, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We have these two things. The blood of the Lamb is just the gospel message. You know the gospel message is the one you responded to. The word of their testimony, that's your own story. It's yours. It's Jesus' work in your life. Only you know it. Only you can share it. Now, people can reject the facts of the gospel, even the logic of the gospel, but they have a hard time explaining away your experience of what Christ has done in your life. That is your story. It's something for you to share with other people and to work it into conversation. I like this quote that I read recently. Evangelism is not about you involving him, that means God, in your outreach efforts. It is him involving you in his. Only the Holy Spirit can open the eyes of unbelievers to the truth of the gospel. That is to unblind them. It is the job of believers to communicate the gospel. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to convert the heart. We as women use, what, 20,000 words a day? We can use some of those words to communicate our faith in some even small way to people that we encounter each day. Whether it's being kind or saying, the Lord has been kind to me this week. Somebody says, how are you doing? Oh, the Lord has been really kind to me this week. He did such and such. Short, sweet, but you get to communicate it. You become a little light bearer. Even if it's just a glow worm, you become a light bearer to the blind. And we can participate as we pray and watch. And it simply means to pray for those whom you are trying to be a light bearer to and watch where God might use you in their life. It's going to be individual. All have different names on our pray and watch list. It's just a tool to help you step into someone's life. So you would ask the Holy Spirit to bring at least one woman to mind that whom he wants you to put on your list. And you probably can think of more than one woman. And then you pray a simple prayer. You can pray whatever prayer you want. But Father, please send the Holy Spirit to work in the heart of that person, to draw her to Jesus, and make her into a laborer for the kingdom. And then you just continue praying that whenever you think about or see that person. Envisioning the Holy Spirit working in her life, drawing her to Jesus. And then you join him as you watch what he's doing. One of the key things, you pray for her, yes. You look for how God is working in her life, but one of the really key things is plan a time to get together with her. And that's the hard part, the planning and remembering. But plan a time to get together with her. That's how we go from having good intentions, which I think we all have good intentions, to becoming intentional and relational in how we become light bearers to those around us. Because when you have a chance to meet with somebody and actually get together with somebody, then you can share some little snippets of your story and whatever it is that God has been doing in your life. It's Jesus' story in your life. Only you know it, so only you can share it. I always hear hesitation from those who have been Christians since they were little. Because you think, I don't have a story to share. You know, I don't have one of those gutter to glory share testimonies, the kind that everybody goes, pays money to go hear somebody share that story, right? You think, I don't have a sensational story. Yes, you do. You have the story every parent wants to hear their child say. So every woman wants to know, how did that happen? What helped you? How did you stay faithful through those years? You have a great story. How are you trusting God now? You still have a story because it's not just what happened to you as a kid. It's what's happening to you each and every day, right now. So throughout the retreat, you've been given opportunity to share what our God has been doing in your life. And each is part of your story that you can share with someone else. Each one is a way you can declare the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. What did our creative God use to target your need and draw you closer to Him at some point in your life? Why are these treasures that we have been given in Christ more valuable than anything you could provide or have tried to provide for yourself? That gives you something to share with somebody else who is trying to substitute something for Jesus. What is it like to be dearly loved by your Father God? Describe a great need that God has met in your life, or a remarkable thing that God has done in your life through His Spirit's empowering presence in you. Or share an area of your life where you have committed to saying, Lord Jesus, I cannot do this on my own. Please do it in me and through me. I will trust you to do this in my life. Is there an area of your life that you have said that? You've committed to that? See, as light bearers, these are parts of our story that we just share in conversation to someone else who is living in darkness. We are light bearers. So all these things that we learned this weekend, that's what we need to share with other people as light bearers to the blind. Okay? Just want you to remember that.